I didn't have a dad joke. I'm reminded of that every time that I don't do one. I'm not sure I have one off the top of my head.
I got one for you. Why do you always knock on the refrigerator door?
Why?
Because the salads make me dressy.
Because the salad made me dressy, okay. That's probably better than anything I do anyway, so. Salad might be dressy. So, VBS this week, they covered many verses in their stories. They walked through kind of the life and death and resurrection of Jesus through the stories. But our verse this week was over here, Ephesians 2:10. So that was the verse they learned about 3 days. So that's the verse we're going to cover this morning together, Ephesians 2:10. Last week it was, I don't know, 30-some verses. This week it's one verse, so you can take a big sigh of relief for that. But Ephesians 2:10. Have you ever had a little thing make a big impact in your life? Something small? Big impact. Probably all have. We usually don't think about it unless it was one of those moments that you really felt and then you think about it. I think about puppies. They're little. That's a big impact on your life. Babies. They're little. That's no small impact. Wedding rings are little. They're small. That's a big impact. Sometimes words are actions, right? You had a bad day, but somebody gives you a compliment. Somebody surprised you with a hug that you needed, didn't know it was coming. These small little gestures in your life to one another. You never know what you're going to do for someone else. A kind gesture, what it really means to their lives, including VBS. You don't know what you just said or what you did for that child. What kind of a lasting effect it's going to have. So small things, big impact. What is it for you? Probably had something, maybe many things. We know the feeling, and our scripture today is going to make us feel small. That's where we're going to get to. We're going to feel small this morning, and yet big in the eyes of God. Made impactful and purposeful by our Creator. Three parts this morning. God made, God prepared, and God led. Ephesians 2:10. You don't have to stand for it. I'll just read it. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for this morning and all the joy we can have in singing praises to You. And we thank You for Your holy word. Father, help us lean into it now and help us let it guide our lives moving forward today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Ephesians 2:10. We covered this week. How about a little background? We're jumping right into Ephesians here. So we know Paul writes Ephesians to the church in Ephesus. He would have written this around the year 62. A.D., this is around the same time that he was held captive in Rome. Ephesus is in Asia. We've been talking about this in Acts, kind of eastern and Asia and western. Ephesus is on the west coast of Asia, so it's one of those areas we just covered with Paul in Acts that he avoided to get to the west. This is one of those places he avoided, but we know he comes back to it. We can think Turkey in terms today. We know he eventually goes there and he leaves Timothy there. So Ephesians is really written to Timothy, 1st and 2nd Timothy, really written to Timothy as he leads this church forward. He returns to them. Ephesus itself, it's where the temple of Artemis was. In your handout today, you have the before and after shot of Artemis. That's the ruins. The bottom picture is what it looks like today, but the top picture is what it would have looked like. Artemis was this goddess over nature, the hunt, the crops, the land, all these things. That's why they worshipped Artemis. And that's the temple. It was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. It was nearly double the size of any other temple built. So the temple of Artemis was in Ephesus. A theater was there that would hold 20, 25,000 people in Ephesus, a theater. A temple to Caesar was there. A few centuries after Paul, the city lay in ruins because of the port eroded and earthquakes destroyed the buildings there. But during Paul's time, it was a vital city port for Rome. So that's where we're at. A vital port for Rome. Good place for a church. The context of the writing is to tell the church that he, Paul, is doing well in confinement in Rome and to remind them of God's purposes for their life. Surrounded by the occult here, magic and paganism and emperor worship, all these cultural things, they're surrounded by many gods worship, the emperor worship, this church needed to be reminded to stay the course, to be encouraged in Christ. The context of our verse is even more specific. The verses preceding it, we know them well, and it says, we were once dead in our sins and then made alive in Christ. So dead, made alive, and this act was a gift from God, not from you, from God. That's important. The verse following this verse tells us that we were once separated from God, but now have been reconciled. So reconciled to God and reconciled to one another through Jesus. That's Amen. Important. Dead made alive and reconciled to God. In between these two vastly important concepts is where we find our verse today. Verse 10. Let's dive in. God created. Our verse begins telling us, but we are God's creation and workmanship. Both words used here mean creation, though the word for workmanship carries this idea of skill. So skillfully and intelligently designed by God.
Amen.
Paul's there. That flies directly in the face of the world today.
Amen.
Billions of years and evolution, or the claims, though evolution has all but fallen apart in science communities today. It's this idea that inevitably everything has created itself. No creator, but rather existence just happened by its own means and by chance, created itself and continues to this day. It seems like that would be hard to believe.
Amen.
It seems like it would take more faith to believe that. The Bible says differently. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 2:7, then the Lord God formed the man of the dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living creature. Creature implies creator. Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God. That's interesting. Jesus is called the Word of God. So what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Well, that seems to say that you can't create yourself. Colossians 1:16, for by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. The picture that Scripture weaves here from beginning to end is God's literal and intentional design of all things and yet a personal relationship with those who are His. How can that be? Jeremiah 24, verse 7, I will give them a heart to know that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return to me with their whole heart. We hear this. Creation, creator, us, God, relationship. We hear this. We say we understand this, but we don't walk around like we do. The creator of everything calls you his. The creator of everything calls you his. Do you feel the weight of that? Now, recently, we have seen images from this new NASA Webb Space Telescope. Have you guys seen these pictures floating around? They're getting these new images. There's four or five pictures. If you haven't seen them, you need to look them up and see them. This telescope's peering the furthest into space and with the clarity that we have not seen before. One of these images shows thousands of likely galaxies in view. One image, thousands of galaxies you can see in this picture. Do we hear that? Do we understand that? Our solar system, our sun, our planets and things that rotate around the sun, our system is in the Milky Way galaxy. Now, our sun is one of almost 200 billion other stars in this galaxy. Our sun, one star of 200 billion stars in our galaxy. That means there's the possibility of 200 billion other solar systems in our own galaxy. You hear those numbers? This picture from this telescope reveals thousands of these galaxies. It doesn't end there. It says this image is as if you held up a grain of sand. Have you ever held one grain of sand? Probably not. One grain of salt at arm's length. You held it up at the night sky. What that grain of sand is covering is what this image is of 1,000 galaxies. Think about the rest of the sky. That's how much space we're looking at in there compared to what we can actually see with our own eyes. Thousands of galaxies. Has that settled on you? Some of you stopped listening when I started science. He's speaking science. I've got a word fine. I'll come back and connect with you when you're past this. That's okay. Now it's time to tune back in. The point is that God made every one of the galaxies in the universe.
Amen.
We will never know how many. The same God that did that, made you, knows you, sent his son to save you. The very same God. The world begins with in the beginning nothing, which leads to nothing having meaning, leads to the ability to the atrocities we witness every day. No morality if based in nothingness. But we begin at in the beginning God, which means nothing before him and everything after him. That's where we start. This leads to everything having meaning and purpose, which also means no matter how big the universe gets, no matter how new telescopes they make, you have meaning and purpose to God.
Amen.
Beautifully and wonderfully made by God. When you don't feel like you're wonderfully made, when you don't feel like you have purpose, lean into the fact that the God of everything, the God who spoke everything, the very Word of God, died on the cross for you. This reveals unbelievable love and that you have unbelievable purpose. God created and God purposed, and it has also been prepared. God prepared. Our text here says, created for good works, which he prepared them beforehand. So first let's look at good works. What is this? Why is it seemingly our purpose? That's what it says, created for good works. So it screams our purpose. So what is it? Well, first, what it is not. It is not you saving yourself. It is not a works-based salvation. That's not what it's pointing to here. It's not you working your way into heaven. That's not the good works. Some people lean into this, but we know it's not these things because the Bible says so. We've already seen that Ephesians says your salvation is a gift, not earned by you. Titus 3:5, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing and regeneration of the renewal of the Holy Spirit. So that's the salvation. Romans 1:16, for not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. So the very word of God, the power of God to save for everyone who believes. John 5:24, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. Does not come into judgment, but passes from death to life. There's that dead to life phrase again. It's earlier in Ephesians. Hears my word and believes has eternal life. Not works-based. Faith-based. Mark 16:16. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Believe, saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. So faith and faith alone. Nothing else you can do to earn it. Why does the Bible say this over and over again, leading me to say this over and over again? It seems like it's in every passage, every text we cover. Why? Because we keep trying to earn it. Amen. That's how we live this life. We keep trying to earn it. We're not good enough. I can't believe I did that. I've got to do this to make it right. I've got to be in church 52 weeks a year, or I'm not right. We keep trying to earn it, checking boxes. Stop trying to earn it and turn to the one who earned it for you. That's what Scripture says. Died on the cross for you. So the works here is not salvation, but something after salvation. What comes after? Serving your Savior. Heart change, life change, being born again, having God's Spirit within leads to serving your Savior. It must. It must or not real. John 15:14. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Hebrews 10:24. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. 1 Timothy 6:18, they are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. Jesus tells us he'll know us by our fruit. The world will know you by your fruit, the things you do. So there's the line, saved by faith and faith alone. God's gift to you, Holy Spirit within you, born again. You're not the old person anymore. But your life will reveal me. That's what Jesus says over and over again. They'll know you by your fruit. They'll know you because you follow me. This has to make sense to us. The Bible makes it clear. One leads to the other. Now, we had a clear example of this in this building this week. Men and women giving up their time, coming in right after work to get here to provide a VBS for kids. To provide a safe place for kids to be kids while also learning about Jesus. 3 days this past week plus many meetings and prep work and back at it again this afternoon because they serve Jesus. Clear example. How do we get to this place of Spirit-led works for Jesus in everything we do? We lean into God's Word. We live it out. Our reading of the Bible and our prayer life must be a priority. A priority. What you will do in this life is what you prioritize. Just look at your life. You're living out your priorities. The things already on your schedule for the next week is your priority. Where you're headed after here is your priority, or you wouldn't be going. Scripture says where your treasure is, your heart will also be. Will it be the Bible for us? It also cannot just be a question of merely doing, because you can do and not be led, right? There's another side to this coin. We have to look no further than Judas to see this. He did many things, not Spirit-led. The Pharisees to do this, see this, they did many things, but never led by the Spirit, led by their works. We must be led, Spirit-led, to do the things of Jesus. So faith alone is salvation, and then we serve the Savior. Next is God-led. Our text says that our works are God-prepared and that we should walk in them. So what does that mean? God prepared beforehand. What does that mean? Before you did it. Whatever you're about to walk through, whatever way you're about to serve, He was there first. His hand's in it. Remember, in the beginning, God. And in that beginning, you were already known by Him. Your path known by Him. That's what God prepared means, and it should encourage you, embolden you to walk that path. It may not be the path you wanted, right? It's not all smooth sailing, but if walking it for God and with God, then no better place to be. You can probably look back at the paths in your life in the past, and you don't like seeing them. You can see the suffering in them, but can also see where God used them to get you where you are today. So, God prepared also means that we should walk the path. Not that we can, not that it is one option among many, but that God has placed in your life should be walked out by you. That's what the text says. Should walk in it. This is not to say that you don't have options in this life. You have an infinite number of choices you make daily, but only a select few are made for God, lead to serving God, lead down God's path. Only a few. Proverbs 3:6 says this, "In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your path." This is a favorite verse of ours, right? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. But it does not offer you a straight path of your own making. That's not what it says. It does not say God will straighten your choices apart from Him. It says in Him walk and your paths will be straight. We leave that part out. So what are we to do if we find ourselves off His path? Running the wrong way. Well, we run back to Him. Easier said than done, right? We repent of what has separated us from Him. His sheep are always His sheep, and the shepherd will always search you out and welcome you home. How do we get there? You lean into God. How? Prayer, Bible reading, Bible study, and gathering with other believers. It is no mistake that the Bible over and over again says your prayer life to grow closer to me. Jeremiah 33:3. Call to me and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. Ephesians 6:18. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplications for all the saints. Praying at all times, praying for one another. Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Do not be anxious. That's easier said than done. How does it say to do it? Replace everything with prayer. Live your life in prayer in everything you do. Many of our anxieties would melt away if we were leaning into the one who holds them. Your fears, your worries, what you're walking through right now. Pray for everything. It's no mistake that we're pointed to the helpfulness of Scripture everywhere. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All Scripture is breathed out by God, profitable for teaching and reproof and correction and training in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. Psalm 119:11. I've stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Storing God's word. It's no mistake that we're commanded to gather, Hebrews 10:25, not neglecting to meet together is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. You got to be there to encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. We must lean into the things of God to follow the path of God for our life. Must. We also must be born again by the Spirit of God, right? That's first and foremost. Will not follow God without a Spirit. That's a guarantee. Will not follow God without His Spirit. Romans 8:14. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Must have His Spirit. So the question that follows is, if you're straying from the path of God because you have sinned, but have the Spirit, can feel it, will repent, will right your path, or you're straying because you are not His, not born again, not Spirit-filled. This question can only be answered by you. God created, God prepared, God led, I'd also add, God saved. Do these things describe you? It's not just your life lived here that's at stake. That's what we focus on, our here and now, our life here, the moments we're living right now. That's our focus. That's not what's at stake here. The saving here is not your life lived here. The saving here is from hell and not some earthly suffering. The saving is for your eternity and not just your few years here. What's the answer to the question? Your eternity requires that you ask it and that you answer it. What's the answer? Spirit-led, led by the world. We're going to close this morning at the Lord's table. That's where we're headed. I would say that we have two main sacraments. I say three as the church. The first is baptism. Believe and be baptized. It's our outward sign of our inward faith. That's why we do it. It's our public statement of faith, a commitment to both God and the church. It's you committing to the church. It's the church committing to you. You're dying and rising like Jesus did for you. That's baptism. Another is marriage. It's a covenant between man and woman and God, our faith lived out, a reflection of Christ and His church lived out. That's what marriage is. The other is the Lord's table we're coming to, remembering what He did for us and remembering in the way He told us to do it. We do this as a church family, but it's done in accordance with Scripture, just like we talked about today, living out Scripture in every area of our life. Scripture tells us that you should not participate in this church ordinance if something's off in your life. Some major sin has you affected or distracted. You have walked away. Something's pulling you from your Savior. Maybe you're not a believer. For these reasons, Scripture says you should wait before partaking in the bread and the cup with the church. Otherwise, all baptized believers in Jesus, not perfect, but striving to follow Him. It's always this two-step. Forward, one step back, falling, getting up, but you're following Jesus. Feel free to join in. No judgment here. The decision is yours. You can start preparing your cups. There's a plastic film for the bread, and then there's a whole piece for the juice below. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for this day. Thank You that VBS was here this week and it's designed for kids to be able to lean into Your Word and have fun while doing it, to realize what Your Word is to them, to realize who Jesus is for them. And we thank You that we could lean in today to the same Scripture they lean into this week. We thank You for this. We also thank You that we have the bread and the cup as a sign of what You did for us, a sign of Your sacrifice for us. Help us lean in and realize what this truly meant as we do this together this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So you've got your bread here. Paul describes this event in this way: "For I received from the Lord, which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Take and eat. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that this bread that we can take together is a sign to us of your body broken for us. Helps us to remember together as your family what you did for us. Help us to be ever grateful for your sacrifice for our salvation. Be with us now as we also lean into the cup and remembering your blood spilled for us. Help us remember these things as we walk this life. Remember how truly blessed we are to be granted this salvation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Paul continues here. He says, "In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" Take and drink. We end together with our verse today, Ephesians 2:10. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Does this describe us today? Does this describe our walk today? Does this describe the way we live our life? If not, then repent and run back to God. Find the path again. Bible study, prayer, leaning into the people in this place. Get back to where you belong, or believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. For the very first time, you turn from your sins and toward your Savior, and you begin to walk this path for you today. It's been prepared for you. God created all things and has loved you. What will it be today? He has a purpose for you. Bring anything at all as we sing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this morning together. We thank you that we do have your holy word. We so often take for granted that we have your words to us. Help us lean in more every day for its guidance for our life. Father, we thank you that in these moments we can come together at your table or in this place in worship or in closing prayer as your family. We thank you for this. And we pray that any sufferings in our life that we are meeting, we meet while walking with you on your path. Father, we thank you for this day. As we leave this place, allow us to walk your path. Give us the courage and the strength needed to walk your path. Help us not to stray away when we see some inconvenience or some hardness or some humiliation, some thing coming forward. We can see it in front of us. Help us walk through it and not around it. There are people in our lives everywhere and in this room today that need the gospel. Help us walk your path for us to get it to them today. In Jesus' name I pray.